Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, girlies.
Hello, girlies.
Back on the same time zone.
Same time zone, festive almost. Mood. I have a great ASMR noise to get us excited. You know, make sure I get all the special effects. I need to do this quickly now.
I know. I was just thinking that. I was like, you could have prepped.
I know. I wanted to get the ice bucket sound to make it extra special.
You're probably going to literally lose an eye while you do this.
Imagine if you watched me lose an eye. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Oh, it's a tight one. Woo! Woo!
Aw, I wish I was drinking that with you.
I know, I'm so sad. So I'm on this like beautiful, wonderful, bougie work trip. And I just came back to my hotel room and there was a bottle of champagne and two glasses, meaning a bottle to be shared with a friend, aka Izzy. But Izzy's in Barcelona.
Which is much more chic than my situation. I'm in Barcelona, which is fun and obviously nice. But basically it's because I'm here because my stupid visa is running out. And so I needed to leave the country and come back in. So I'm tagging along on my boyfriend's work trip on a whim. And we're staying at this hotel, just one of those very kind of run-of-the-mill, like, corporate Hilton hotels. And just then I went down to the lobby because I was trying to order a drink off the room service app, and it was saying you couldn't order alcohol until 6 p.m. I was like, stop trying to call me an alcoholic. That's crazy.
That's literally insane. That feels very un-European as well.
I know. So then I went down to the lobby in my track pants and bought this 25 euro bottle of rosé that I already Googled earlier, and it's £5 at Tesco.
Oh my God. I was going to say, is it like flying solo?
Fucking flying solo?
Yeah. Okay. Visa stuff. I mean, work and not, that's like pleasure and not work. Work and not pleasure is visa things.
But what is exciting, surprisingly, about this is I get to see tonight Megan Thee Stallion tomorrow night Dua Lipa and Charlie XCX on the same night. Can you believe?
That's so special. Why is that happening? All three.
Primavera's on. Yeah, because
Primavera.
So Primavera, yeah, which I went to in 2019.
Mm.
That festival, which I think is actually weirdly the last one they had because then COVID. It's two weekends. So the first weekend is usually, I think, kind of the more busy one. And then in between the weekends, so the festival lasts for like 10 days. In between the weekends, they have other things going on every night. So tonight isn't even a festival night, but Megan Thee Stallion's just playing and we get to go.
That's so
fun. And we've got VIP tickets. So I'll be really close to her while she sings WAP.
You can be like Cara Delevingne. You should recreate some of the famous shots.
Oh my God, yes. And then tomorrow, Charlie XCX plays and Dua. So
I can't believe you're seeing Dua again.
And I'm also seeing her at a festival, which I think will be so fun. And then yesterday my boyfriend said, which I don't believe him at all, when he was saying it, I was like rolling my eyes and I was like, this is not going to happen. But he said that there was like a chance of us getting side of stage.
That will, I reckon it will happen. You seem to be quite blessed with these things.
Yeah, I was like, that won't happen, that won't happen. He was like, I was literally just side of stage on the same stage. And I was like, yeah, but it's Dua Lipa. There's going to be a billion people trying to do that. It's not going to happen, rah, rah, rah. And then we made a bet and I found these cute sunglasses I wanted the other day. So I made him bet me that if we don't get side of stage, I get the sunglasses. And if we do, I get Dua Lipa. And I have to pay him £200.
I was going
to
say, then you just buy yourself sunglasses.
Yeah.
This is a win-win situation you've concocted.
But imagine if you see, yeah, there's like a viral TikTok and it's not Cara Delevingne, it's like a girl getting torn off the stage at Primavera trying to accost Dua Lipa while she sings, like when she does the ringer.
You'll try to join the ringer Rosie. You try to kill the lobster.
She fell. Did you see that on TikTok?
I saw that. It's a hazard. It's a risk. That's so funny in Jada doing the ring of Rosie and slipping.
I know, and she tore up her leg really bad.
She needs to stop that dance now for her safety and for her reputation and self-image.
I know. I will never forget the big red lobster coming onto the stage. I need to find photos of that.
I feel like I imagined that when we went to that concert was so like, I don't know, I feel like we were both just in between 80 time zones and it was like a fever dream.
That was the start of it all for me.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I loved it. I have a very exciting recommendation for you.
Hit me.
So I just yesterday flew back to the UK from Australia and I had a 20-hour flight and I slept, honestly, I think for 18 hours of it. But in the 2 hours I didn't sleep, I saw just before I boarded a little recommendation from Spotify called The Teacher's Trial. And longtime listeners will know this clever little name is referring to.
Is it Headley?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a plot twist. So it's the teacher's pet, aka our fave true crime pod ever, with Headley Thomas, who I was so starstruck again thinking about how he emailed us and how we just dropped the ball. But now I know why he didn't get back to us, because he's been very busy, because the Chris Dawson, who is accused of killing his beautiful, lovely wife, Lynette, in the 80s, his trial is finally happening. And part of the reason it took so long is because his lawyers have fought like tooth and nail in the courts to get the case thrown out, because they basically said that Headley did irresponsible journalism and that has created an Australia-wide witch hunt for Chris and he'll never get a fair trial and used all this circumstantial evidence and that jurors will never be fair. So there's been all of these things in the courts and Headley's basically been banned from listening to and reporting on the case because he's going to be called as a witness.
Oh my God.
It's so red hot. So he like kind of pipes up with little insights now and again, but it's done by other journalists, the teacher's trial. But luckily Chris is still, the case is still happening, but it's now judge only. So there's no jury.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
In his defense, it does make sense.
Yeah. No, that does make sense.
Like, I would be, like, guilty on day one. Yeah.
I thought that was what – we're going to talk about this later, but I thought that was what happened or was happening in the Johnny Depp trial. I thought they were just like, there's no way the jurors can be fair because of the media spectacle. But no, still jurors.
But no, they don't care. And I'm like, why can't we get the fucking Chris Dawson trial live streamed? Like, why do we have to get Johnny Depp and Amber Heard?
I know, I'd far rather watch this.
Same.
I want to see his fucking creepy twin brother squirm.
Yes, and I was remembering how they said in one episode that him and his creepy twin brother would have threesomes with people, and I'm like, they're so weird.
Yeah, and also how they would pretend to be the other person.
Oh, yeah, yuck.
To, like, trick women. And then how it's kicked off. It was so crazy because there were so many spin-offs of that podcast, and then how it kicked off that investigation into the Sydney schools and how all of the teachers would groom all the students. And it's so crazy. But yeah, so the podcast you were listening to, what are the episodes? Are they just talking through what's going to happen because the trial hasn't started yet?
No, the trial's 4 weeks in. That's what it, there's been like no coverage of it. So they've,
oh my God,
they've covered each week as it's happened and done like a wrap up thing. So there's four episodes so far. I was so shocked because I had no idea. It hasn't really, apparently there's been this big thing, which I love about Australia, to keep the trial very much out of the media. They've really limited how many journalists can go. They've kind of warned media outlets that if they sensationalize it too much, it could see him get off. So there's been this thing where it's not really, when I was in Australia, I didn't really see it covered much, but the Australian got permission to have reporters there. And they've kind of, part of the reason for that is they're kind of defending themselves against some of the claims about the teacher's pet that have been brought up in the trial. The claims about it seem pretty desperate to me. They're basically trying to say that a lot of the women that have come out since the podcast aired and gone to the police to give extra evidence that wasn't in the podcast about Lynette being a domestic violence victim and Chris being gross and weird and violent, they're trying to say that those, they're doing it for fame, like to be famous. I was like, what, these like 73-year-old random former childcare workers think they're going to get famous.
They always say that about people who come forward for Me Too things. They're always like with the Harvey Weinstein people. They're like, these women just want fame.
It's like, name one of the women, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't name one. Apart from Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, but like the other three women that actually went to trial, they're just randos.
I know. It's so terrible.
No, when I was in Australia, I heard on the radio, we were in this little media van and I was with American journalists. It was just me and three American journalists, one from Vanity Fair, one from Fashionista, one from Nylon. And they said something about the Chris Dawson trial starting. And I was like, oh my God. And they were just like, what?
Is that how famous it is in America?
No, they didn't know. But I was like losing it. And they were just like, okay.
this is our Johnny Depp Amber Heard, literally.
Yes.
So Chris, yeah, I mean, the evidence all sounds really bad, obviously, but we know that anyway. I can't really see. Their argument in his defense is that the police dropped the ball and didn't investigate her disappearance after he reported her missing, and therefore the police negligence means that you can't rule out that she actually just did disappear because the police fucked up, like, finding her or following other loose ends. So it looks like it's him retroactively, but it's the police's fault for not doing due diligence at the time, is their argument. Which just feels
it's like an okay argument, I guess, because it is insane that the police didn't.
Yeah, it's an okay argument, but there's also, they're like, 2 days before she disappeared, he forced her to sign over like her life insurance, whatever it was. It's so sus.
Yeah, yeah. We're the media that ruined the trial. He gets off because of AWD. As you were talking, I was like, oh my God.
I'm like Kate Moss on the Zoom. I'll get snatched.
You fucking wish, bitch.
I'll go to Charlotte Tilbury to get my makeup done before.
Yeah, I'll go get plastic surgery and then put that beauty filter on high. I just put my hand up like I was being sworn in, but you guys can't see that.
I know. I just get on and be like, he's guilty. But yeah.
Iconic, yeah. Okay, let's move on before Hedley's like, those fucking girls.
He's like, I recognize those voices.
He's like, I liked them when they called me handsome, not when they ruined my like years of work. Put a man behind bars.
He opens the teacher's trial. He goes, my name's Hedley Thomas, and I am very passionate about making podcasts that try to solve unsolved murders of Australian women. Like, it's like a little mission statement. It's really cute.
Okay, Daddy.
I love him.
Okay, I have some recs. I'm glad you heard that, because I was like, otherwise I'm just going to be screaming at you, because I'm very passionate about the first one, and that is Billie Eilish, the new love of my life. Obviously, she's been around for a while and everyone knows she's cool. But when her documentary came out, I for some reason I wanted to watch it at the time, but what put me off was everyone kind of saying that it was really sad to watch her like that. A few people were like, I was really worried about her mental health and all this stuff. And so I didn't watch it. And then I put it on over the weekend when I was having this lovely weekend at home with the cat. And it was an amazingly, first off, it's an amazingly done documentary. Her parents have filmed so much over the years of her growing up,
mm-hmm.
what having like present parents feels like, mm-hmm. all the video footage. I'm like, Mom, do you have any school photos of me? And she's like, I don't know. she's like, I don't know. I think I threw them all out. And it, yeah, obviously shows her from when she was 12 or whatever, recording her first album and working with her brother. And it just documents how insane it was from, releasing that song on YouTube to it going incredibly viral and how her life changed. But what's really cute about it is because it's done from the inside, it really shows the fact that she's just a normal young girl. They still live in the same house. She grew up in LA. She was just kind of madly, she was 17 and she was like madly falling in love with these bad boys. And then she started dating this boy called Q is arch enemy number one on the pod now, even though this was years ago, of course, a stale hate for Q, who was her boyfriend. And he was just like, I don't know, a naughty boy. She was headlining Coachella. She was so nervous, Grace. She was like just freaking out. And then with those kind of performances, you would be so scared because you have to put on such a big show because it's not even about you just doing a sold out stadium tour. It's mm-hmm. about headlining this. It's, when Kendrick did it and it was like the most insane, and Beyonce, it's like mm-hmm. the most insane things you've ever seen. Anyway, so she was freaking out. And then the screens weren't working right before she went on. And then she went on and she did such a good job, but she forgot the lyrics to one of her new songs. And she came off and she was really upset with herself. And she went backstage. And it's so funny seeing that juxtaposition of hundreds of thousands of people screaming your name to walking off the stage to go into a trailer with just like your mum and your dad and sit on a couch. And then she was like trying to call her boyfriend who she'd given free Coachella tickets to, obviously. And he was just like, yeah, maybe I'll try come see you. And she's like, can you just come here?
Oh my God.
And I was like, imagine. Yeah. And then another funny bit that happened was there was a Katy Perry Orlando Bloom cameo before she went on stage at Coachella, where Katy Perry came backstage and then she was like, this is my fiance. He loves you so much. He's so excited to meet you. And Billy was just like shook his hand and gave him a hug and then went away. And then people were like, that was Orlando Bloom. And she was like, who? And they were like, Pirates of the, no, what was he in?
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Legolas and Pirates of the Caribbean. But they were like, Lord of the Rings, this guy. And she was Googling and bringing up Google images. And she was like, fuck off. That was him. Oh my God. I thought that was just a random guy Katy Perry was with. Oh my God. Oh my God. I need to see him again. Like, it just like lost it. She was like, he's so fucking hot. And then later she like found him again and was like, I love you, man.
That's so funny. Do you think she was acting or do you think she actually did know who he was? I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't.
Lost her mind.
Right. Oh, that's a nice little tale.
So she didn't know who he was when they gave a hug because she didn't realize Katy Perry was dating
him. But she did know who he was. Right. Culturally. Yeah.
And then she goes, I just thought it was a random guy Katy met. And then Justin Bieber obviously features heavily throughout because she was so in love with him when she was younger. And then it shows the meeting and then it shows all the DMs he sends her and he's so sweet. And even like what Katy was saying was really cute. Both of them were just like, please let us know if you need anything. This is such an insane ride and it goes by so fast. And just remember to like enjoy every moment. And Justin messaged her and goes, I still remember when I was 15 and now I'm 25 and the time just passes so quickly. And just like remember to actually be in the moment and do all this cute stuff. Jare.
Jare, jare. Oh, that's so nice. It's also the Katy Perry cameo is quite kind of meta as well because I feel like that Katy Perry documentary that we all weirdly saw, even though none of us remember why.
I watched it, like, I'm not joking, 6 times.
Yeah, that famous scene of her crying, it sounds like there's some parallels with Billie Eilish. So it's a bit of a meta narrative that now Katy's with her beau that she's engaged to and has a baby with and she's happy now and she's got past that stage in her career and it's like a foreshadowing of things to come.
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then after that I had like a Billie Eilish meltdown and tried to Google tour tickets in London and et cetera. Watched her on David Letterman. I was like, I love you. Followed her on Instagram.
Have you guys heard of Billie Eilish? She's a great singer.
So this is like reminiscent of when I discovered Harry Styles about a year ago. Although I don't want to have sex with Billie Eilish.
Oh, that's nice. I would actually honestly really like to watch that. Maybe this will be the thing that pushes me over the edge.
Okay, and then one last rec, which kind of leads into our first little mini topic, is Hannah. Shout out to Han. I asked her the other day if she'd watched anything good, and she recommended Love Life on BBC. I was immediately put off because it stars Anna Kendrick, who for some reason just drives me up the walls.
Wait, can we talk about that quickly? Because I was on TikTok and someone was talking, I can't even remember why, this was ages ago, that about how people don't like Anna Kendrick. And I was like, yeah, I guess I understand that, but I feel like it's a bit of an internet thing. Is it? What does that come from, do you think?
I don't know what it is. She's just one of those people, even though most of those people that other people dislike, I don't get that with. I like Anne Hathaway. Who else do people not like?
Yeah, I love Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, Keira Knightley, I love. And also, how can you not, like, anyone who doesn't like Anne Hathaway, I'm like, Devil Wears Prada is all you need to say.
Yes. And yeah, she's done a lot of iconic things. Her Oscar speech was annoying, but it's like everyone's Oscar speeches are annoying. But yeah, apparently Anna Kendrick was rude to a staff member at a staffer at like Bergdorf's like 6 years ago or something, and the internet's never forgotten.
She's got that kind of annoying sort of not pick me energy, because it's not in that vein of like I'm different to the other girls. It's more just like that annoying kind of in your face, not reading a room energy.
Are we being shortest?
No. But yeah, she's got short girl energy.
She's short. That's what I mean. Yeah. Short.
Yeah. Maybe then, yeah.
I just want to check my tall privilege for a minute.
I'm literally like, I want to be fucking shortest because I think that everyone's more mean to tall people.
Do you think?
And our big feet. Yes. Tall girls are like, people treat us like giants. The other day, me and my friend Julia went to the movies and she's literally like 5'11 or something. She's like the tiniest bit taller than me. And this girl goes, wow, you are so tall. And I was like, what is this sentence? And then
I'm a human Julia being, like, okay? I'm more than my height.
Yeah. And then us with our big feet, we've got it worse.
I am more than my shoe size.
I'm more than my bunion size. Okay. So then I started watching it and it's really good and it's really funny and it's an easy watch. It's kind of, I don't know, I always feel bad when I recommend things so highly when it is one of those watches that you can kind of pull out your phone and not pay full attention to, but I also love those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me laugh and it's quite spot on with just humor. And basically it follows Anna Kendrick through all of her relationships through her early 20s. Each episode is a different relationship. And I do recommend it, yes. So that's that. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. A lukewarm recommendation?
No, I like really liked it, but I feel bad overhyping things because it's not like the best show you'll ever see, but it's an easy, good watch. And it's funny, some guy said, I don't know, her friend was really drunk. They were at karaoke. And she was just like, oh, yeah, she's like this every night. And he was like, so she's an alcoholic? And she was like, no, I mean, maybe if we were older. But because you're in your 20s, it's just like fine to do that.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And then the show we have both started watching, which was released approximately 24 hours ago, is Dolly Alderton's Everything I Know About Love, which is a the TV adaptation of her obviously viral, incredibly successful, best-selling memoir, Everything I Know About Love, which I'm pretty sure, I'm going to say 83.7% of the girlies listening have read that book.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. I was reading a lot of the reviews and chatter about this show, and it really hit home what a phenomenon that book was and how kind of exceptional and rare it is for someone to write a book like that and for it to strike such a nerve with so many people. So I feel like that's a good like point to start with, is like how incredible what she did was, how I think it affected so many women like of our generation and how we think about friendship. And just like, it's not easy to write a book like that, that every single person recommends to like 50 of their friends and everyone wants to read and is a bazillion times bestseller. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was genuinely, I know people say this a lot, but it was genuinely a book that I picked up and did not put down till I finished it. I remember where I was when I was reading it. It's funny because I'm trying to put my finger on what it was that made it so incredible, but I just think that the way she writes, I think, so basically with the show, I've only watched episode one, you're in the second episode, but we didn't want to rush through and then do a huge review of the series because we know you guys wouldn't have been able to watch the whole thing yet and we don't want to spoil anything, and it's kind of nice to do it week by week and savor things. So I think we'll do kind of like our first take and then maybe a review at the end. But I think kind of my first takeaway of this was that I think Dolly Alderton's, I'm like completely ruining what I was going to say, because I was going to say I think her relatability is so, the best way is through her written word because she's such a good writer, but then also on the high low, she's really relatable and really funny. But for some reason on screen, it like for me doesn't translate as well, and I can't think of why. And then I was kind of like, maybe it's because Dolly is very funny. She's kind of like self-aware and then not self-aware. She's all of these things that make us love her as a human. But on screen, she is also at the same time very, it's funny how much you think you know this person, but we've obviously listened to like hours of her and read her memoirs and things. But then she's also very romantic as a person, very earnest, very sincere. And I think the show, like so much when I was watching the show, I was like, you can tell she's had so much to do with this that it feels almost too kind of earnest in a way and less funny than it should be. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, I feel the same. I was trying to like put my finger on exactly, to start with like the things I really liked about it. I obviously love, I mean, maybe I don't love it. I was like, I love this idea of like celebrating this period in women's lives, but I also do feel it's been like such a central topic of like media narratives in the last few years that maybe it doesn't feel as exciting anymore. Like a bunch of young privileged girls in their 20s figuring out love. And I'm like, maybe that just doesn't hit the same nerve it hit when the book came out. But I like the idea of like telling women's stories and just having these like, you know, sweet, lovable characters on screen. And I think the actresses are all great actresses. I love, there's lots of moments of it that I love. I love how it celebrates this kind of, like you say, earnest, goofy, not cool genre, like, period of life where you think that you've figured all your shit out and you're really suave and pulled together and you're actually a bit tragic. Like, I think that idea is feels quite fun and maybe relatively new. But there does seem to be, I don't know if it's like a tonal thing. I think, like you say, so the Maggie character is meant to be the stand-in for Dolly. And she does, I don't know if it's, I really like the actress. I think you've written this down as well, the same point. But there's something about her that feels genuinely like she is cool. Like, she kind of looks like a model. Like, she's got, like, she looks,
yeah, she's
like,
she's too cool.
Yeah, she's like this genuinely hot, like, off-duty, yes, model type who looks really hot when she smokes and wears a smoky eye and just, like, flounces around in, like, a band tee.
But then at the same time, when I was, like, thinking about this, I was like, but Dolly also – it's because – but Dolly also is – I don't know. I guess she's not as cool in terms of, like, a model off-duty type, and she's not like – Jada, Dolly, we love you, obviously. She's not, like, super, super – I mean, she's stylish in her own way. But, you know, like, as in she's not that – she wouldn't be that cool it girl type vibe, but then she is also still very self – because I was kind of like, maybe this girl's too confident. But then Dolly is very confident and self-assured, and she does smoke, and she has got that whole 70s thing going on, and it's not like her confidence is ever lacking. But then this girl, like, weirdly doesn't – what is it?
This girl feels like a like, early 90s Kate Moss or something. Like, I'm just like, all of this stuff doesn't come across – like, this kind of – it feels like Kate Moss hanging out with a bunch of, like, weird private school kind of – genre girls where you're just like, I don't, then it feels like she's being really patronizing with the friend because you're like, I don't, there's just like a gap missing between, like you say, in the writing, Dolly's writing, you see this person who we all think is fucking cool and amazing and this great writer, but it's like she's morphed into that over time and that's why we love her. And when she writes about herself in her 20s, it's like this gap between wanting to be like that but not really being like that. But they've almost cast someone who is just so naturally cool and charismatic and aloof that I'm, like, not getting the things that are supposed to land, I think, about her. So then when she's mean to the best friend about getting a boyfriend, I'm like, stop being a bitch. Like, it just – I'm like, let your like, less cool friend have a boyfriend. Like, it just – I think plot points aren't landing in the same way because that character's – yeah. She's like Effie
completely.
From Skins.
And then when Yes. And then when she met, so at the start of the show, she's on the train and she meets this guy called Street, who literally every single one of us has bussed.
Yes.
Like, he has a guitar. Street. He's got a wide-brimmed hat. That was perfect. All of that was so perfect. So even, like, them being in the train and in the bathroom and getting wasted, that was great. But even when she meets him and then she goes to his house and she's like, she said to Birdie, her best friend, Belle Powley, who I fucking love, I'm just going to be understated because it's obviously so cool. I don't want him to think I'm not cool. And then it shows her in this huge, big yellow jacket, which is funny for a second until you see how chic she looks in it. You know, like, she pulls it off so well. And then he goes, you can tell when you were younger that you can tell you weren't cool in high school. And I'm like, can you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, it's like you're telling us things about this character exposition wise as if this character is a different person to who we're seeing.
Exactly. I think that throws me a bit because she seems very cool. She seems very self-assured. She doesn't seem like the kind of person that would care that much when her friend got a boyfriend. She seems independent, but then I think maybe as we go on we're going to see the change in that. I found it funny that they did Rush because I did it in a London club last week too. I was like, is it 2012?
What's Rush?
Rush is that shit you can buy from the convenience store in a little, you would have done it before.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Are they called Rush in New Zealand?
Bottle.
Whipped cream canisters. Yeah.
And you just sniff it. So you just open the bottle and then sniff it.
They're called Nangs in Australia. And when I went to Ben and Jerry's, there was a guy called Dylan who got in trouble because he kept stealing them because we made whipped cream at Ben and Jerry's.
Wait, I don't know if it's the same thing.
The silver canisters.
No, this is literally like a bottle of liquid.
Ah.
And it's like a serum bottle, and you open it up and then just sniff this liquid, and it just makes you feel really high for like 30 seconds.
Ah, like
it's
amyl.
Like sniffing chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is wrong with us when we're young? Wait, I was like going to say when we were young, but you said you did it last week.
I know, but we did it for nostalgic purposes as a joke. But yeah, I did do it. Yeah. But it was our friend's birthday, and we went to this like hideous, we went to this, not hideous, but this really young kind of queer club in Soho. And there was this house DJ playing, and we were the only ones over the age of 20. And so we bought Rush as a joke to pretend we were
beautiful
18 again.
Rush, but, okay.
Yeah, it was funny them doing that because I found that quite spot on with what you used to do back then. What else? I found it entertaining, but I didn't really laugh out loud.
I agree. I think – I don't know if it's too self-conscious – I don't know. Dolly is so funny. I listened to her speaking for 5 minutes and laugh like five separate times. Like she's very
same.
And the writing is I think the writing is really good. There's some chip that's missing, and I don't know if it's trying to be cooler than it needs to be, or if it's trying to make the main character cooler than she needs to be, or if it
Dolly's like make her cool and cast this Kate Moss lookalike.
I know. I'm like, this literally feels like I'm casting, like, I don't know, like Emily Ratajkowski to play me and then be like, yeah.
Yeah, and even with the casting of this girl, it's like, as you say, she's too kind of hot and cool and sure of herself. And then also Dolly talks about in the book being, you know, really, really tall, just being big as in like a big human being, like we just spoke about earlier. Justice for tall girls, and that made her feel relatable because she felt awkward and like she kind of stuck out from the rest of her friends. Kind of, it felt Bridget Jonesy, and this girl doesn't feel Bridget Jonesy.
Yeah, I think she said in the bit of the book that made me laugh out loud so much, she was just like, when I was in high school, I never had a boyfriend because I looked like Hagrid. And that like paints such a picture where she's like, I was 6'1" when like everyone else in my class was like 5'5". And it almost feels like with this show, it's like revisionist history, like recasting how she thinks of herself in her 20s as being this like effervescent, effortlessly hot girl. Where you're like, no, like lean into the awkwardness, lean into the... That I would love to watch that so much more. Like someone that's like a little bit gangly and like a bit whatever and doesn't really... No, and is embarrassingly earnestly trying to play the cool, sophisticated, effortless French girl, but just like doesn't really look or feel the part, but is feeling herself anyway and is in her own little world. That's the thing I really like about it, is this thing that when you're in your early 20s, you are like trying to, you have this movie of what your life is going to look like and you're just trying to make it happen, and you kind of are not really in touch with reality because you see the way that you behave and what you do in this completely different light. And it's really fucking embarrassing and awkward and cringy. I will give an example, which is when I was back in Sydney for this wedding. It was a bunch of my like uni, a bunch of my really good friends from uni who I haven't seen all together in a group in years and years and years. And one of the guys was like, I have this memory of you and we were like 21 and you were so drunk. We're at this bar and you rapped all the words to 212. I mean, hopefully not all of them, to 212 by Azealia Banks. And then you turned around and you were like, was that hot? Did I look really hot? And I was I'm going to kill myself. Like that's literally... Like in my head, I looked like this chick in the Dolly show, but I didn't. I looked like a fucking drunk, weird red wine teeth freak. Like, and that's, I'm like, I want that. I want to see that on the screen. I don't want to see a genuinely cool girl on screen. I want to see, that's why I love the Belle Powley character, because she's dorky and whatever. But there's also so many lines in it. I feel bad because it sounds like we're ragging on it. And I I there's a lot about it I liked. But there's so many lines which I think are meant to be relatable, but she's so posh that I'm like, it's not relatable. And she's like, you're wearing a Karen Millen dress. And I'm like, no one who is 24 could afford a still $600 Karen Millen dress. Like, it's just so silly. Or like aspired for a job at John Lewis.
Oh, shit, that much money. I had no idea. Yeah, they should have definitely said that you're wearing a dress from like an Eminem dress or something.
Yeah, like, or like yeah. Like being obsessed with getting a job at John Lewis. Like, it's like saying I want to get a job at David Jones or something. You know what I mean? It's a very specific type of poshness that I think is probably funny to her and her friends. And then she says something about like a tombola, and I'm like, no one knows what that is. Like, there's just all of these in jokes that I think aware of like some of her sense of humor is that maybe. I mean, part of it's the English thing, but I do think part of it's like a posh middle class.
Yeah. The thing. Evening Standard, because I just Googled before trying to see if there was any reviews of it yet. The Evening Standard was like loved it, but they said, will your enjoyment of the show be directly proportional to your tolerance for the main duo's implicit private school energy? Probably. Although Amara and Nell's storylines do provide some counterbalances as the series goes on. So obviously we haven't watched all that much. So
I think everyone's in the same position. The Guardian review was very negative, but still gave it 3 stars. And the comments were like, why did you give it 3 stars when this review is so negative? And I think it's this thing where everyone really desperately wants to love it because they love her so much that people feel bad, like discussing it badly. But this Guardian review said, Maggie is one of 4 friends sharing an unfeasibly spacious and unsqualid house, which feels like an odd choice for a series so keen to perpetuate the relatability that made the book such a hit. They are all eager to embrace everything the throbbing metropolis of London has to offer, none more so than Maggie. She parties hard and often, and as her much more nervy and earnest best friend Birdie says in a line representative of Alderton's acuity in these matters, Maggie is genuinely fun. She's, quote, someone who actually likes skinny dipping, wearing bandanas and playing snooker in pubs. And I think that's such a good example, like lines like that. I don't understand what they're meant to mean. I don't understand if they're trying to say that that's actually cool and spontaneous, or if it's an in-joke that that's so lame that you would think that that's what being genuinely fun is, that we're meant to laugh at that moment. Like, I don't understand what side we're on as the audience.
I thought, but now you're confusing me, but I thought that was what they genuinely thought fun was. And I was like, what the fuck? This isn't fun. I'm so confused.
Yes. So you feel like they're maybe poking fun at that, but then I'm not 100% sure because they're making her such a protagonist. Like, you can be on her side and also think the way she's behaving is a little bit tragic, but it's, I don't think it's super clear.
Wearing bandanas. She's definitely like, yeah, that's the other thing. We need a show, which I think is what this is aiming to be, as a show that kind of shows that crazy party girl and then the vulnerabilities behind it, which is what it is showing. Like, basically Dolly is saying, you know, she partied and she was the life of the party and everyone finds her so fun, but inside she was really lonely, and so losing, you know, her best friend made her feel really insecure and made her lean on guys because she hadn't dealt with any of her traumas and stuff. And that's what we need to see. But I feel like that's not cutting through. But yeah, I did find the writing really good. So I found it really funny how, for example, in the first episode, how Maggie was so shocked that Nathan asked Birdie out for dinner. She was like, he asked you for dinner. Like, that's fucking crazy. And then she's like, that's mad. And then later when Birdie went out for dinner, she was like, I'm sorry, but I think it's psychotic he's taking her for dinner on their first date. Like, those things were really, like, well-written and relatable. And also she's just so used to going for those bad guys that won't even text her back.
Yes.
And then this guy's, like, offered to take her out for dinner and whining and dining her, and they're getting brunch the next day, and she's just like, what the fuck is happening? Which is quite funny and very relatable, because I could not find a guy to pay for a dinner for me. Till now, barely.
I don't know. It's like we were saying with friends, conversation with friends, things like this tend to have like a moment. They kind of hit at the right cultural time. And I feel like the book hit at the perfect cultural time. And maybe there's just less of an appetite for – maybe there was like a willingness to overlook some of the, you know, posh, privileged whiteness stuff when the book came out, and now maybe now 6, 7, 8 years on, or whatever it is, 6 years on, maybe it sticks out to us more.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if it was just, I think the tone of Girls, the Lena Dunham character as herself, is perfect because she just embodies all of it perfectly. I think the tone is just a tiny bit off, and I think they cast a girl too hot.
It would be like if Lena Dunham cast Jemima Kirk as Hannah, I feel.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what feels off, because you're like, Lena Dunham is the perfect person. Lena Dunham's like delusions of grandeur and total lack of self-awareness, and it's so funny because she plays it in this way where this character is genuinely quite tragic but doesn't give a shit. Like, I don't know. I think that's maybe the problem as well. Like, once you've had Girls, like, people keep comparing this to Sex and the City. I've seen there's been a few things saying this is Britain's answer to Sex and the City. To me, it's so much more closely aligned with Girls.
Exactly, yeah.
And even though I know Dolly Alderton loves Sex and the City, and I just think it's just very impossibly big boots to fill. Like, whatever criticisms you have for Girls, like, Lena Dunham is I hate to say it, but she's like the Woody Allen of our generation in terms of like what a good writer and like social critic she is. And I think it's just once we're kind of just spoiled by it.
The Woody Allen, which is just funny because she's been like accused of like molesting her sister. Well, she said she did, to be fair. Okay. So we are very far in, but we obviously have to give you girlies some hard thoughts on various other things, namely more
scholar time.
Yeah, this is time for the – I feel drunk already, and I've only had two glasses of this disgusting petrol-filled rosé.
You feel drunk from I Love Rosé.
It's called I Love Rosé. I was like, I do. But, okay, Amber Heard, Johnny Depp verdict, very quickly. I'm glad we actually don't have much time left in the pod because, I mean, this topic has been exhausted. We also, every time we talk about it, get, like, people in our DMs.
Depressed.
People in our DMs.
Do we?
Well, yeah, we do, because obviously people feel so passionately about this stupid fucking case, as you've seen, like, everywhere. We all think we're Judge Judy. Say? They're pro Johnny. Or people, actually, to be fair, some people are just being like, this is the evidence, and a lot, basically saying that quite a few things Amber Heard have said haven't lined up. And I'm not saying, and I don't think we've ever said on this podcast, that we don't think she might have embellished or lied a few times. I mean, like, I'm not saying that. I don't think she hasn't lied. But I am still sticking by the fact that I think they both abused each other, as in physically and emotionally. And I don't think we should be celebrating one over the other.
Yeah, I think it's more been about, like, the cultural reaction to the trial. I think we were both very, like, bored by the actual details of the case. I think the only time that you and I got interested in this was because of the every time we logged into Instagram or TikTok, there was this like barrage of wild pro Johnny Depp content that we couldn't account for.
No,
and like the way the fandom has responded to it. And the fact that I think like the thing that I think is very, the only thing I think is interesting about the verdict is this kind of victory lap that he's doing as if he's been fully exonerated and his name has been cleared. And the surprising way to me, at least, that, like, celebrities have flocked to support him now that it's happened. That was quite surprising to me.
Exactly, yeah. And I love this piece. Basically, this piece in The Cut summed it up perfectly. It's called How Did Johnny Depp Become the Good Guy? And it's basically just saying exactly as you say, this kind of insane hero worship over a man who has not denied, you know, writing fucking threatening messages in his own blood, saying he's going to fuck her dead corpse. Like, just all of the video of him emotionally abusing her. It's just insane that we're now going to be like celebrating him. And as my friends predicted a couple of weeks ago when we were in LA, they said, it's if he gets off, it will be this victory tour of Johnny Depp. He'll go back to getting roles. Everyone will forget. Because the sad part about it is like, I know that a lot of people have kind of been following this, but for the kind of 80% of normal human beings who haven't been watching this case every single day, or been outside with Pirates of the Caribbean merch, they're just going to, they're going to read the top line, which is that Johnny Depp won on 3 counts, and it's just a bad state of, I don't know, it's just a bad state for us to be in when it comes to all of this.
So he put up a statement on Instagram after, so basically the court found that on 3 counts that Amber Heard had actively, maliciously defamed him in the Washington Post op-ed. I am not a legal scholar, but I find that verdict hard to stomach based on the evidence that I saw. But go with that. Jury system is flawed, but go with that. They also found that he had actively defamed her on 1 count. So she has to pay $10 million. He has to pay $2 million. She obviously doesn't have $8 million to bandy around because he's ruined her career. So she won't be able to pay that, or she'll spend the rest of her life paying it off. He put up a statement afterwards, and it was, I mean, it wasn't like every celebrity in the world, but it was like Taika Waititi, Rita Ora, Bella Hadid.
Yeah, when you Paris said that, Hilton. I was like, what? I put a note in our Google Doc.
Yeah, literally Paris Hilton, Jason Momoa, who worked with Amber Heard on the Aquaman movies, liked her statement and Johnny Depp's statements, which said completely opposing things. I just, and like people have, the people that commented were like Naomi Campbell, who I get is very good friends with Kate Moss, who obviously supports Johnny Depp. But I was just kind of surprised by, I'm surprised by the fact that celebrities of that caliber, after what came out in the trial, would come out and publicly support him in that way. I get an Instagram like is not like an endorsement of his entire personality, but I still found that very bizarre. And then Amber Heard, I think the problem is obviously there's a likability thing. People seem to just not like Amber Heard. But there has been, thankfully, some more like nuanced conversation in the aftermath of the verdict. And you're seeing people like Mia Farrow and Edward Norton and Selma Blair and Lena Headey of Game of Thrones, if not liking Amber Heard's active statement, liking and retweeting the conversation around it and how like troubling, you know, the rhetoric has been in the case and since the verdict happened. But he also put on this insane like TikTok victory lap of him like winking and clapping and smiling at his supporters, and it's like this swelling music against the backdrop. It's crazy.
He is fucking yuck. Like, are you joking? He joins TikTok after this, after TikTok. Like, get off, Johnny Depp. He also wasn't in the US, as I think we talked about the other week, to hear the verdict because he was playing sold out shows in London and then partying at this members club down the road from us with Kate Moss the night of the verdict. It's just like, have a bit of grace.
And then he went to an Indian restaurant and he spent £50,000, which is like impossible because he kept ordering expensive champagne.
What restaurant? Do you know?
It was in Birmingham.
Oh.
What?
And then I was like, do you know? Seriously? Jim Khan is a very expensive Indian.
He has this like very, I believe, delusional, childlike, infantilized sense of himself, which is I think the most powerful thing Amber Heard brought up, which is that he would get drunk and high and do these highly destructive things. And then he had 18 people around him on very lucrative salaries who would just pat him and protect him and say, no, you didn't do anything. No, she's exaggerating. No, she's making a big deal out of nothing. And I feel like that's just continued this whole time. He's like a grown-up child that is just, for all of the things that he has said and done to come out in that trial, he should hang his head in fucking shame and say, you know, I believe my ex-wife highly exaggerated claims of violence and that it's had a detrimental effect on my career and therefore I am suing her, but I'm certainly not like proud of 95% of what's come out in the trial because I have, you know, a young daughter who I am just embarrassed has to read these things that her father has said and the way I spoke about women 4 or 5 years ago to other male friends is deeply and disgustingly misogynistic. Like, there's just none of that. Like, the fact that he thinks that he's been completely, like, vindicated, I just find bizarre. And I, like, even people I know that are liking it, like, there are people I know that I'm, like, friends with who I think are normal, who are, like, enthusiastically liking all of his
Yeah, I've
bullshit.
Seen people sharing things on their Instagram stories, being like, thank God. And I'm just like, I don't know. Exactly. I think this is a nuanced conversation where it's like I'm not saying I'm pro Amber Heard or pro Johnny Depp. But to be honest, out of like the entire thing, I'm now far more pro Amber Heard than Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. And not because I'm saying what she did was okay. Not because I'm saying what she did was less than what he did. But because I just think this whole fucking thing is... Yeah, it's just weird. And even not him addressing his alcohol or anger issues, I don't know. It's like, it's just weird. And now he's confirmed for Beetlejuice 2, which, like, does anyone need that? A serious question.
I agree.
I'm drunk.
Same.
Don't DM us. I know that you guys have been nuanced with it, but... I don't want to hear any more pro-pirate stuff. No Jack Sparrow in the DMs. I wanted to fuck him as much as the rest of you.
I know. We also once eating Gilbert Grape and wanted to bust Johnny Depp, but we have to move on.
Bye. Off to Patreon.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.